The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis Mary de Montfort. Translator Mary Barber. Nil obstat, Golimus Hughes. Imprimatur Thomas Edmundus Malloy. Preface. Biographers have already told us much about St. Louis de Montfort and the Rosary. Now, with this first English edition of The Secret of the Rosary, we can listen to Montfort speaking for himself. Drawing upon his own experience as well as upon the experience of others, he endeavors to bring home, in a simple and straightforward manner, as he himself tells us, the authentic message of the Rosary, namely, that it is a veritable school of Christian life. He sees it as including essentially the meditation of the mysteries of the life, death, and glory of Jesus and Mary, with a view not only to honoring but especially imitating their virtues as held up to our consideration in each mystery. For our saint, the Rosary was not simply a method of prayer. It was his most effective tool and weapon in his apostolic work. Fittingly has the Church called him an extraordinary preacher of the Rosary. He preached it in season and out of season, established it in every parish where he gave a mission, and judged the fruits of the mission by the subsequent perseverance in its recitation. It's estimated that he enrolled over 100,000 persons in the Rosary confraternity. There was no limit to the power of the Rosary, and to it he attributed much of his success with sinners. "Let me but place my Rosary around a sinner's neck," he was wont to say, "and he will not escape me." A Dominican tertiary himself, de Montfort represents the best in the Dominican Rosary tradition. Speaking of our saint's contribution to the Rosary, Father R. Poupon, well-known Dominican writer, says, "Montfort's genius prolongs in one straight line that of blessed Alain de la Roche and of St. Dominic. He completes them by bringing forth a personal grace and interpretation." Commenting on de Montfort's book, Father William says, "It goes far beyond mere research. We might say that it contains everything that can be said about the Rosary, about its content and form, its real worth, about the instruction necessary for its appreciation and use." The Secret of the Rosary was written almost 2.5 centuries ago. It is true, but it has lost none of its freshness and timeliness. Indeed, today, in the light of the specific request of Our Lady of Fatima, it will be doubly welcomed by all true clients of Our Lady. We feel confident that it will bring many souls to a better understanding of the Rosary, not only as a prayer, but especially as a way of spiritual life. A White Rose for Priests. Dear ministers of the Most High, you, my fellow priests, who preach the truth of God and who teach the gospel to all nations, let me give you this little book as a white rose that I would like you to keep. The truths contained in it are set forth in a very simple and straightforward manner, as you will see. Please keep them in your heart so that you yourselves may make a practice of the Holy Rosary and taste its fruit. And please have them always on your lips, too, so that you will always preach the Rosary and thus convert others by teaching them the excellence of this holy devotion. I beg of you to beware of thinking of the Rosary as something of little importance, as do ignorant people and even several great but proud scholars. Far from being insignificant, the Rosary is a priceless treasure which is inspired by God. Almighty God has given it to you because he wants you to use it as a means to convert the most hardened sinners and the most obstinate heretics. He has attached to it grace in this life and glory in the next. The saints have said it faithfully, and the popes have endorsed it. When the Holy Spirit has revealed this secret to a priest and director of souls, how blessed is that priest! For the vast majority of people fail to know this secret, or else only know it superficially. If such a priest really understands this secret, he will say the rosary every day and will encourage others to say it. God and His Blessed Mother will pour abundant grace into his soul so that he may become God's instrument for His glory. And His word, though simple, will do more good in 1 month than that of other preachers in several years. Therefore, my dear brethren and fellow priests, it will not be enough for us to preach this devotion to others. We must practice it ourselves. Even if we firmly believed in the importance of the Holy Rosary but never said it ourselves, people could hardly be expected to act upon our advice, for no one can give what he does not have. Jesus began to do and to teach. We ought to pattern ourselves on our Blessed Lord, who began by practicing what he preached. We ought to emulate St. Paul, who knew and preached nothing but Jesus crucified. This is really and truly what you will be doing if you preach the Holy Rosary. It is not just a conglomeration of Our Fathers and Hail Marys, but on the contrary, it is a divine summary of the mysteries of the life, passion, death, and glory of Jesus and Mary. I could tell you at great length of the grace God gave me to know by experience the effectiveness of the preaching of the Holy Rosary, and of how I have seen with my own eyes the most wonderful conversions it has brought about. I would gladly tell you all these things if I thought that it would move you to preach this beautiful devotion, in spite of the fact that priests are not in the habit of doing so these days. But instead of all this, I think it will be quite enough for this little summary that I am writing if I tell you a few ancient but authentic stories about the Holy Rosary. These excerpts really go to prove what I have outlined for the faithful in French. A Red Rose for Sinners. Poor men and women who are sinners, I, a greater sinner than you, wish to give to you this rose, a crimson one, because the precious blood of our Lord has fallen upon it. Please God that it will bring true fragrance into your lives, but above all, may it save you from the danger that you're in. Every day, unbelievers and unrepentant sinners cry, "Let us crown ourselves with roses." But our cry should be, "Let us crown ourselves with roses of the Most Holy Rosary." How different are theirs from ours? Their roses are pleasures of the flesh, worldly honors, passing riches which wilt and decay in no time. But ours, which are the Our Father and Hail Mary, which we have said devotedly over and over again, and to which we have added good penitential acts, will never wilt or die. And they will be just as exquisite thousands of years from now as they are today. On the contrary, sinners' roses only look like roses, while in point of fact they are cruel thorns which prick them during life by giving them pangs of conscience. At their death, they pierce them with bitter regret, and still worse, in eternity, they turn to burning shafts of anger and despair. But if our roses have thorns, they are the thorns of Jesus Christ, who changes them into roses. If our roses prick us, it is only for a short time, and only in order to cure the illness of sin and to save our souls. So by all means, we should eagerly crown ourselves with these roses from heaven and recite the entire rosary every day. That is to say, three rosaries each of 5 decades, which are like three little wreaths or crowns of flowers. And there are 2 reasons for doing this. First of all, to honor the 3 crowns of Jesus and Mary. Jesus' crown of grace at the time of his incarnation, his crown of thorns during his passion, and his crown of glory in heaven, and of course the threefold crown which the Most Blessed Trinity gave Mary in heaven. Secondly, we should do this so that we ourselves may receive 3 crowns from Jesus and Mary. The first is a crown of merit during our lifetime, the second, a crown of peace at our death, and the third, a crown of glory in heaven. If you say the rosary faithfully until death, I do assure you that in spite of the gravity of your sins, you shall receive a never-fading crown of glory. Even if you're on the brink of damnation, even if you have one foot in hell, even if you've sold your soul to the devil, as sorcerers do who practice black magic, and even if you're a heretic as obstinate as the devil, sooner or later you'll be converted and will amend your life and save your soul. If, and mark well what I say, if you say the Holy Rosary devotedly every day until death, for the purpose of knowing the truth and obtaining contrition and pardon for your sins. In this book, there are several stories of great sinners who were converted through the power of the Holy Rosary. Please meditate upon them. A Mystical Rose Tree for Devout Souls. Good and devout souls who walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, I do not think that you will mind my giving you this little mystical rose tree which comes straight from heaven and which is to be planted in the garden of your soul. It cannot possibly harm the sweet-smelling flowers of your contemplations, for it's a heavenly tree and its scent is beautiful. It will not in the least interfere with your carefully planned flower beds, for being itself all pure and well-ordered, it inclines all to order and purity. If it is carefully watered and properly attended to every day, it will grow to such a marvelous height, and its branches will have such a wide span, that far from hindering your other devotions, it will maintain and perfect them. Of course, you understand what I mean, since you're spiritually minded. This mystical rose tree is Jesus and Mary in life, death, and eternity. Its green leaves are the joyous mysteries, the thorns, the sorrowful ones, and the flowers, the glorious mysteries of Jesus and Mary. The buds are the childhood of Jesus and Mary, and the open blooms show us both of them in their sufferings, and the full-blown roses symbolize Jesus and Mary in their triumph and glory. A rose delights us because of its beauty. So here we have Jesus and Mary in the joyous mysteries. Its thorns are sharp and prick, which makes us think of them in the sorrowful mysteries. And last of all, its perfume is so sweet that everyone loves it, and this fragrance symbolizes their glorious mysteries. So please do not scorn this beautiful and heavenly tree, but plant it with your own hands in the garden of your soul, making the resolution to say your rosary every day. By saying it daily and by doing good works, you will be tending your tree, watering it, hoeing the earth around it. Eventually, you'll see that this little seed which I've given you, and which seems so very small now, will grow into a tree so great that the birds of heaven, in other words, predestinate and contemplative souls, will dwell in it and make their nest there. Its shade will shelter them from the scorching heat of the sun, and its great height will keep them safe from the wild beasts on the ground. And best of all, they will feed upon the tree's fruit, which is none other than our adorable Jesus, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. A Rosebud for Little Children. Dear little friends, this beautiful rosebud is for you. It is one of the beads of your rosary, and it may seem to you to be such a tiny thing, but if you only knew how precious this bead is. This wonderful bud will open out into a gorgeous rose if you say your Hail Mary really well. Of course, it would be too much to expect you to say the whole 15 mysteries every day, but do say at least 5 mysteries, and say them properly with love and devotion. This rosary will be your little wreath of roses, your crown for Jesus and Mary. Please pay attention to every word I've said, and listen carefully to a true story that I want to tell you, and that I would like you to remember. 2 girls, 2 little sisters, were saying the rosary very nicely and devoutly in front of their home. A beautiful lady suddenly appeared, walked towards the younger, who was only about 6 or 7, took her by the hand and led her away. Her older sister was very startled and looked for the little girl everywhere. At last, still not having found her, she went home and heartbrokenly told her parents that her sister had been kidnapped. For 3 whole days, the poor father and mother sought the child, but could not find her. At the end of the 3rd day, they found her at the front door looking extremely happy and pleased. Naturally, they asked her where on earth she'd been, and she told them that the lady to whom she'd been saying her rosary had taken her to a lovely place where she had given her delicious things to eat. She said that the lady had also given her a baby boy to hold, that he was very beautiful, and that she had kissed him over and over again. The father and mother, who had been converted to the Catholic faith only a short time before, sent at once for the Jesuit father who had instructed them for their reception into the church, and who had also taught them devotion to the Most Holy Rosary. They told him everything that had happened, and it was this priest himself who told me this story. It all took place in Paraguay. So, dear children, imitate these little girls and say your rosary every day, as they always did. If you do this, you'll earn the right to go to heaven and see Jesus and Mary. If it is not their wish that you should see them in this life, at any rate after you die, you will see them for all eternity. Amen. So be it. Therefore, let all men, the learned and the ignorant, the just and the sinners, the great and the small, praise and honor Jesus and Mary night and day by saying the Most Holy Rosary. Salute Mary, who hath labored much among you. Part 1. What the Rosary is. First Rose, the Prayers of the Rosary. The Rosary is made up of 2 things, mental prayer and vocal prayer. In the Holy Rosary, mental prayer is none other than meditation of the chief mysteries of the life, death, and glory of Jesus Christ and of His Blessed Mother. Vocal prayer consists in saying 15 decades of the Hail Mary, each decade headed by an Our Father, while at the same time meditating on and contemplating the 15 principal virtues which Jesus and Mary practiced in the 15 mysteries of the Holy Rosary. In the first 5 decades, we must honor the 5 joyous mysteries and meditate on them. In the second 5 decades, the sorrowful mysteries. And in the 3rd group of 5, the glorious mysteries. So the Rosary is a blessed blending of mental and vocal prayer by which we honor and learn to imitate the mysteries and the virtues of the life, death, passion, and glory of Jesus and Mary. Second Rose, Origin. Since the Holy Rosary is composed principally and in substance of the prayer of Christ and the angelic salutation, that is, the Our Father and the Hail Mary, it was without doubt the first prayer and the first devotion of the faithful, and has been in use all through the centuries, from the time of the apostles and disciples down to the present. But it was only in the year 1214, however, that Holy Mother Church received the Rosary in its present form, and according to the method we use today. It was given to the Church by Saint Dominic, who had received it from the Blessed Virgin as a powerful means of converting the Albigensians and other sinners. I'll tell you the story of how he received it, which is found in a very well-known book by Blessed Alan de la Roche. Saint Dominic, seeing that the gravity of people's sins were hindering the conversion of the Albigensians, withdrew into a forest near Toulouse, where he prayed unceasingly for 3 days and 3 nights. During this time he did nothing but weep and do harsh penances in order to appease the anger of Almighty God. He used his discipline so much that his body was lacerated, and finally he fell into a coma. At this point, Our Lady appeared to him, accompanied by 3 angels, and she said, "Dear Dominic, Do you know which weapon the Blessed Trinity wants to use to reform the world? Oh, my Lady, answered St. Dominic, you know far better than I do, because next to your Son Jesus Christ, you have always been the chief instrument of our salvation. Then Our Lady replied, I want you to know that in this kind of warfare, the battering ram has always been the angelic psalter, which is the foundation stone of the New Testament. Therefore, if you want to reach these hardened souls and win them over to God, preach my psalter. So he arose, comforted, and burning with zeal for the conversion of the people in that district, he made straight for the cathedral. At once, unseen angels rang the bells to gather the people together, and St. Dominic began to preach. At the very beginning of his sermon, an appalling storm broke out. The earth shook, the sun was darkened, and there was so much thunder and lightning that all were very much afraid. Even greater was their fear when, looking at a picture of Our Lady, exposed in a prominent place, they saw her raise her arms to heaven 3 times to call down God's vengeance upon them if they fail to be converted, to amend their lives, and to seek the protection of the Holy Mother of God. God wished, by means of these supernatural phenomena, to spread the new devotion of the Holy Rosary and to make it more widely known. At last, at the prayer of St. Dominic, the storm came to an end, and he went on preaching. So fervently and compellingly did he explain the importance and value of the Holy Rosary that almost all the people of Toulouse embraced it and renounced their false beliefs. In a very short time, a great improvement was seen in the town. People began leading Christian lives and gave up their former bad habits. Third Rose, St. Dominic. The miraculous way in which the devotion to the Holy Rosary was established is something of a parallel to the way in which Almighty God gave His law to the world on Mount Sinai, and obviously proves its value and importance. Inspired by the Holy Ghost, instructed by the Blessed Virgin, as well as by his own experience, St. Dominic preached the Holy Rosary for the rest of his life. He preached it by his example as well as by his sermons, in cities and in country places, to people of high station and low, before scholars and the uneducated, to Catholics and to heretics. The Holy Rosary, which he said every day, was his preparation for every sermon and his little tryst with Our Lady immediately after preaching. One day, he had to preach at Notre Dame in Paris, and it happened to be the feast of St. John the Evangelist. He was in a little chapel behind the high altar, prayerfully preparing his sermon by praying the rosary, as he always did, when Our Lady appeared to him and said, Dominic, even though what you've planned to say may be very good, I'm bringing you a much better sermon. St. Dominic took in his hands the book Our Lady proffered, read the sermon carefully, and when he had understood it and meditated on it, he gave thanks to the Blessed Mother. When the time came, he went up into the pulpit and, in spite of the feast day, made no mention of St. John, other than to say that he had been found worthy to be the guardian of the Queen of Heaven. The congregation was made up of theologians and other eminent people who were used to hearing unusual and polished discourses. But St. Dominic told them that it was not his wish to give them a learned discourse, wise in the eyes of the world, but that he would speak in the simplicity of the Holy Spirit and with his forcefulness. So he began preaching the Holy Rosary and explained the Hail Mary word by word, as he would to a group of children, and used the very simple illustrations which were in the book Our Lady had given him. Cartagena, the great scholar, quoting Blessed Alan de la Roche, describes how this took place. Blessed Alan writes that one day Father Dominic said to him in a vision, My son, it is good to preach, but there's always a danger of looking for praise rather than the salvation of souls. Listen carefully to what happened to me in Paris. so that you may be on guard against this kind of mistake. I was to preach in the great church dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I was particularly anxious to give a brilliant sermon, not out of pride, but because of the high intellectual stature of the congregation. An hour before the time I had to preach, I was recollectedly saying my rosary, as I always did before giving a sermon, when I fell into ecstasy. I saw my beloved friend, the Mother of God, coming towards me with a book in her hand. "Dominic," she said, "your sermon for today may be very good indeed, but no matter how good it is, I've brought you one that is very much better." Of course I was overjoyed, took the book, and read every word of it. Just as Our Lady had said, I found exactly the right things to say in my sermon, so I thanked her with all my heart. When it was time to begin, I saw that the University of Paris had turned out in full force, as well as a large number of noblemen. They had all seen and heard of the great things that the good Lord had been doing through me, so I went up into the pulpit. It was the feast of St. John the Apostle, but all I said about him was that he had been found worthy to be the guardian of the Queen of Heaven. Then I addressed the congregation. "My lords and illustrious doctors of the university, you are accustomed to hearing learned sermons suited to your aesthetic tastes. Now I do not want to speak to you in the scholarly language of human wisdom, but on the contrary, to show you the Spirit of God and His greatness." Here ends the quotation from Blessed Alan, after which Cartagena goes on to say in his own words, "Then St. Dominic explained the angelic salutation to them, using simple comparisons and examples from everyday life." Blessed Alan, according to Cartagena, mentioned several other times when Our Lord and Our Lady appeared to St. Dominic to urge and inspire him to preach the rosary more and more in order to wipe out sin and to convert sinners and heretics. In another passage, Cartagena says, "Blessed Alan said Our Lady revealed to him that after she had appeared to St. Dominic, her blessed son appeared to him and said, 'Dominic, I rejoice to see that you are not relying upon your own wisdom, and that rather than seek the empty praise of men, you are working with great humility for the salvation of souls.' But many priests want to preach thunderously against the worst kinds of sin at the very outset, failing to realize that before a sick person is given bitter medicine, he needs to be prepared by being put in the right frame of mind to really benefit by it. This is why, before doing anything else, priests should try to kindle a love of prayer in people's hearts, and especially a love of my angelic psalter. If only they would all start saying it and would really persevere. God in His mercy could hardly refuse to give them His grace. So I want you to preach my rosary." In another place, Blessed Alan says, "All priests say a Hail Mary with the faithful before preaching to ask for God's grace. They do this because of a revelation that St. Dominic had from Our Lady. 'My son,' she said one day, 'do not be surprised that your sermons fail to bear the results that you'd hoped for. You're trying to cultivate a piece of ground which has not had any rain. Now when Almighty God planned to renew the face of the earth, He started by sending down rain from heaven, and this was the angelic salutation. In this way God made over the world. So when you give a sermon, urge people to say my rosary, and in this way your words will bear much fruit for souls.'" St. Dominic lost no time in obeying, and from then on he exerted great influence by his sermons. This last quotation is from the Book of Miracles of the Holy Rosary, written in Italian, and it's also to be found in Justin's works. I've been very glad to quote these well-known authors word for word in the original Latin for benefit of any priest or other learned people who might otherwise have doubts as to the marvelous power of the Holy Rosary. As long as priests follow St. Dominic's example and preach devotion to the Holy Rosary, piety and fervor thrive throughout the Christian world and in those religious orders which were devoted to the Rosary. But since people have neglected this gift from heaven, all kinds of sin and disorder have spread far and wide. Fourth Rose, Blessed Alan de la Roche. All things, even the holiest, are subject to change, especially when they are dependent on man's free will. It's hardly to be wondered at, then, that the confraternity of the Holy Rosary only retained its first fervor for one century after it was instituted by St. Dominic. After this, it was like a thing buried and forgotten. Doubtless, too, the wicked scheming and jealousy of the devil were largely responsible for getting people to neglect the Holy Rosary and thus block the flow of God's grace which it had drawn down upon the world. Thus, in 1349, God punished the whole of Europe and sent the most terrible plague that had ever been known into every land. It started first in the east and spread throughout Italy, Germany, France, Poland, and Hungary, bringing desolation wherever it came, for out of 100 men, hardly one lived to tell the tale. Big towns, little towns, villages, and monasteries were almost completely deserted during the 3 years that the epidemic lasted. This scourge of God was quickly followed by two others: the heresy of the Flagellantists and a tragic schism in 1376. Later on, when these trials were over, thanks to the mercy of God, Our Lady told Blessed Alan to revive the ancient confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary. Blessed Alan was one of the Dominican fathers from the monastery at Dinan in Brittany. He was an eminent theologian and was famous for his sermons. Our Lady chose him because, since the confraternity had originally been started in this province, it was most fitting that a Dominican from the very same province should have the honor of reestablishing it. Blessed Alan began this great work in 1460 after a special warning from our Lord. This is how he received his urgent message, as he tells it himself. One day when he was saying Mass, our Lord, who wished to spur him on to preach the Holy Rosary, spoke to him in the Sacred Host. "How can you crucify me again so soon?" Jesus said. "What did you say, Lord?" asked Blessed Alan, horrified. "You crucified me once before by your sins," answered Jesus, "and I would willingly be crucified again, rather than have my Father offended by the sins you used to commit. You are crucifying me again now, because you have all the learning and understanding that you need to preach my mother's rosary, and you're not doing so. If you only did this, you could teach many souls the right path and lead them away from sin, but you're not doing it, and so you yourself are guilty of the sins that they commit." This terrible reproach made Blessed Alan solemnly resolve to preach the rosary unceasingly. Our Lady, too, spoke to him one day to inspire him to preach the Holy Rosary more and more. "You were a great sinner in your youth," she said, "but I obtained the grace of your conversion from my Son. Had such a thing been possible, I would have liked to have gone through all kinds of suffering to save you, because converted sinners are a glory to me, and I would have done this also to make you worthy of preaching my rosary far and wide." St. Dominic appeared to Blessed Alan as well, and told him of the great results of his ministry. He had preached the Holy Rosary unceasingly, his sermons had borne great fruit, and many people had been converted during his missions. He said to Blessed Alan, "See the wonderful results I have had through preaching the Holy Rosary. You and all those who love Our Lady ought to do the same, so that by means of this holy practice of the Rosary, you may draw all people to the real science of the virtues." Briefly, then, this is the history of how St. Dominic established the Holy Rosary and of how Blessed Alain de la Roche restored it. The fifth rose, confraternity. Strictly speaking, there can be only one kind of confraternity of the Rosary, one whose members agree to say the entire Rosary of 150 Hail Marys every day. However, considering the fervor of those who say it, we may distinguish three kinds: ordinary membership, which entails saying the complete Rosary once a week; perpetual membership, which requires it to be said only once a year; daily membership, which obliges one to say it all every day, that is, the 15 decades made up of 150 Hail Marys. None of these rosary memberships binds under pain of sin. It is not even a venial sin to fail in this duty, because such an undertaking is entirely voluntary and supererogatory. Needless to say, people should not join the confraternity if they do not intend to fulfill their obligation by saying the rosary as often as is required, without, however, neglecting the duties of their state in life. So whenever the rosary clashes with a duty of one's state in life, holy as the rosary is, one must give preference to the duty to be performed. Similarly, sick people are not obliged to say the whole rosary or even part of it if this effort might tire them and make them worse. If you've been unable to say it because of some duty required by obedience, or because you genuinely forgot, or because of some urgent necessity, you have not committed even a venial sin. You will then receive the benefits of the confraternity just the same, sharing in the graces and merits of your brothers and sisters in the Holy Rosary who are saying it throughout the world. And my dear Catholic people, even if you fail to say your rosary out of sheer carelessness or laziness, as long as you do not have any formal contempt for it, you do not sin, absolutely speaking. But in this case, you forfeit your participation in the prayers, good works, and merits of the confraternity. Moreover, because you have not been faithful in doing things that are little and of supererogation, almost without knowing it, you may fall into the habit of neglecting big things, such as those duties which bind under pain of sin. For he that condemneth small things shall fall little by little. Sixth Rose, Mary's Psalter. Ever since St. Dominic established the devotion to the Holy Rosary, up until the time when Blessed Alain de la Roche re-established it in 1460, it has always been called the Psalter of Jesus and Mary. This is because it has the same number of angelic salutations as there are psalms in the Book of the Psalms of David. Since simple and uneducated people are not able to say the Psalms of David, the Rosary is held to be just as fruitful for them as David's Psalter is for others. But the Rosary can be considered to be even more valuable than the latter for three reasons. Firstly, because the angelic Psalter bears a nobler fruit, that of the Word incarnate, whereas David's Psalter only prophesies his coming. Secondly, just as the real thing is more important than its prefiguration, and as the body is more than its shadow, in the same way, the Psalter of Our Lady is greater than David's Psalter, which did no more than prefigure it. And thirdly, because Our Lady's Psalter, or the Rosary made up of the Our Father and Hail Mary, is a direct work of the Most Blessed Trinity and was not made through a human instrument. Our Lady's Psalter, or Rosary, is divided up into three parts of 5 decades each, for the following special reasons: to honor the three persons of the Most Blessed Trinity, to honor the life, death, and glory of Jesus Christ, to imitate the Church triumphant, to help the members of the Church militant, and to lessen the pains of the Church suffering, to imitate the three groups into which the Psalms are divided, the first being for the purgative life, the second for the illuminative life, and the third for the unitive life, and finally, to give us graces in abundance during our lifetime, peace at death, and glory in eternity. Seventh Rose, Crown of Roses. Ever since Blessed Alan de la Roche reestablished this devotion, the voice of the people, which is the voice of God, called it the Rosary. The word Rosary means crown of roses. That is to say that every time people say the Rosary devoutly, they place a crown of 153 red roses and 16 white roses upon the heads of Jesus and Mary. Being heavenly flowers, these roses will never fade or lose their exquisite beauty. Our Lady has shown her thorough approval of the name Rosary. She's revealed to several people that each time they say a Hail Mary, they're giving her a beautiful rose, and that each complete rosary makes her a crown of roses. The well-known Jesuit, Brother Alphonsus Rodriguez, used to say his rosary with such fervor that he often saw a red rose come out of his mouth at each Our Father and a white rose at each Hail Mary. The red and white roses were equal in beauty and fragrance, the only difference being in their color. The Chronicles of St. Francis tell of a young friar who had the praiseworthy habit of saying the crown of Our Lady, the Rosary, every day before dinner. One day, for some reason or other, he did not manage to say it. The refectory bell had already been rung when he asked the superior to allow him to say it before coming to the table, and having obtained the permission, he withdrew to his cell to pray. After he'd been gone a long time, the superior sent another friar to fetch him, and he found him in his room bathed in a heavenly light, facing Our Lady, who had two angels with her. Beautiful roses kept issuing from his mouth at each Hail Mary. The angels took them one by one, placing them on Our Lady's head, and she smilingly accepted them. Finally, two young friars who had been sent to find out what had happened to the first two saw the same lovely scene, and Our Lady did not go away until the whole rosary had been said. So the complete rosary is a large crown of roses, and the rosary of five decades is a little wreath of flowers, or a small crown of heavenly roses, which we place on the heads of Jesus and Mary. The rose is the queen of flowers, and so the rosary is the rose of all devotions, and it is therefore the most important one. Let us continue with the secret of the rosary on side B.